Hi, this is Ryan Dawson with the Anti-Neocon Report, and joining me today, again, a repeat guest is Mimi Alahim, or Syrian Girl, or Maren. She has many different names. The two pseudonyms are a little bit more famous, so I'm just going to stick with Syrian Girl because I don't feel like changing everything. I hope that's okay with you.
Fine by me. Whatever the public know would be better.
Yeah, that's. We have to talk about a rather... well, disgusting and horrible topic. However, there is some light at the end of the tunnel and some good news, because some documents have been revealed by the DIA, and it has vindicated things that you have said, things that I have said for many years about the conflict in Syria. And I want to talk to you about that today. But quickly, we'll run through the conflict in Syria. And we get this narrative from the Western press almost the entire time that it's Assad killing his own people, and that he's a monster and he started the violence, and now it's the moderate rebels with Western aid versus the Islamic State and Assad, which is a narrative that doesn't even make sense. But that's what we've been getting, and you and I have gone over in prior podcasts about the Syrian gas attack. Seemed like the third one was the charm because the rebels were caught the first two times. Then there was the barrel bombs, which was equally as ridiculous, and that was blamed on Assad, and people swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. But now we've got a report admitting that the West knew about and fostered the creation of ISIS, and that it was in their own interest to do this.
And that report comes from the CIA itself, from the very government.
That's right.
That created Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
Yes, it came from the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the DIA, has been pretty good compared to our other alphabet soup networks. And it was the CIA, similar name, that helped create the Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to begin with. And yet this time in Syria, they're bad guys. And yet again, we see the hand-in-glove relationship between terrorist organizations and Western intelligence agencies. And this is something you've said from day one, that these are covert mercenaries, and that a lot of it came from Libya and other areas.
Well, absolutely. You said it as well. You know, us in the truth movement have been saying this for even before the Syrian crisis started. During the Iraq war, we were saying this ISI, ISIS was called ISI back then, is created by the U.S. They're trying to create a civil war. They're trying to divide Iraq. Their aim is balkanization. These are things we have been saying for a decade. And now there's just the evidence of what we were, and the vindication of what we're saying is just mounting and mounting. The Defense Intelligence Agency's report basically stated that as a consequence of the supporting powers, they called them, Turkey, the Gulf states, and the U.S. supporting the Syrian opposition, the outcome is going to be ISIS. And right. It's going to be in exact regions of Hasakeh and Deir Zur, where it is right now, in between Syria and Iraq, in that desert region. And the benefit of that is that it's going to divide Syria and Iraq, and it's going to isolate the Syrian government, which was the plan. And in the DIA report, they talk about how useful that would be, and how the supporting powers want to see this happen. So this is like a blatant confirmation of everything we've been seeing. But in the media, you have basically half the media going one way and the other half going the other way, running around like headless chickens, not really knowing what the narrative is anymore. One minute they're against Al-Qaeda in Syria, one minute they're against ISIS, next minute they're still supporting the rebels, next minute they really don't know where to go. Because even Robert Ford, the ex-ambassador to Syria and Iraq, came out and said the Syrian rebels all support Al-Qaeda. This was 6 months after saying that the Syrian rebels are completely separate from Al-Qaeda and they're still a strong force. So he's completely contradicted himself because he's lost his job.
Of course. Well, I mean, it's been Al-Qaeda has had a secret relationship with Western governments from its inception. They've been covertly supported. And the U.S. has done this before with the Contra operation during Iran-Contra. the TAC scandal. They're always covertly sponsoring mercenaries, and the excuse has always been, no, we don't like those radicalized Wahhabi Muslims, despite our strong alliance with Saudi Arabia. We're just trying to help the moderate factions, the Free Syrian Army. But when you look at their behavior, there's really no difference between them and ISIS. They have overlapping membership. They share the same weapons. They share the same training and money. And they are both grilling heads and eating organs and killing children. That is terrorism. I don't think there's such a moderate way to kill a child, or a moderate way to eat somebody's heart and liver, or a moderate way to cut someone's head off. But that seems to be
and
the line.
It on a Spitfire.
And mean, film it.
Yeah, well, we were watching all of these beheadings happening on Syrian streets in early 2012, before ISIS was even inside Syria, and before Jabhat al-Nusra was even recognized by the U.S. as a terrorist organization. We were watching videos of this, and the world was completely blind to it. And even now, if you ask a regular person on the street what's happening in Syria and Iraq, they say, ISIS beheaded two journalists, American journalists. And that's all they know.
Right. That was the attention that it got. Two American journalists were killed, and two Japanese journalists were killed. However, you did report on this too. I saw it covered very well.
One Japanese journalist and one FSA wannabe.
Right.
Who was apparently mentally ill.
Well, they got illegal visas, went to Turkey, joined the FSA, got sold to ISIS, and were killed.
Yes, exactly.
Of course, that news didn't break out until after Shinzo Abe met and gave $100 million to reconstruct Palestine and Syria. And then all of a sudden, the Japanese were getting killed on TV. But they'd been in captivity for a month. So timely with that news. It's something else. The way Al-Qaeda constantly can get on television when they want to and give the speeches they want to.
Absolutely. And one interesting thing that happened recently on Al Jazeera is the head of Al-Qaeda in Syria, Jabhat al-Nusra, appeared on Al Jazeera. And he was talking to an Al Jazeera journalist in what looks like a palace. So either he was in Qatar, or he must have stolen some rich person's house in Syria, because that kind of scenery isn't very common there. The palace scenery is more common in the Gulf oil-rich states. So that brings the question, is Qatar, where Al Jazeera's satellite station is located, are they harboring the head of Al-Qaeda? Well, Qatar, the government has openly stated they want to support Jabhat al-Nusra with weapons, and they want to bring Jabhat al-Nusra out from the cold. And even U.S. government think tanks have supported the idea of saying, you know, we have to separate the Al-Qaeda that is against us with Al-Qaeda that might be useful to us. And can we befriend Al-Qaeda? That was another interesting thing that was happening a few months ago. So it's not only that they are admitting that they created this monster, but they also want to befriend the monster, and they have no qualms about being open about it.
Well, that's an interesting point to bring up Qatar too, because they are the principal backbone of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was the original civil war in Syria under Assad's father that he had to deal with. Assad's father, of course, is who retook 30% of the Golan Heights, which the Israelis stole in the 1967 war. In Yom Kippur, Assad's father recaptured part of that land, and then there was a civil war with the Muslim Brotherhood in interior inside of Syria, supported by Qatar. And the DIA report openly admits that the MB, as well as Al-Qaeda in Iraq and other terrorist organizations, could form an Islamic State as an umbrella terrorist organization, and that they would foster and support this, that this was in the West and Gulf states' interest to do so.
Well, it's definitely in their interests, because Syria and Iraq uniting becomes a very strategically powerful country, because Syria has access to the Mediterranean Sea and Iraq has access to the Strait of Hormuz. And with Syria, Iraq, and Iran being connected, and Lebanon being connected, that it creates like a crescent of resistance against Israel and against a hegemony in the Middle East, and putting an ISIS smack dab in the middle between Syria and Iraq and dividing those states is exactly what was the agenda for a long time. Because if you read up on the project for the new Middle East and you saw the maps that they were creating, they wanted to divide these states a long time ago, just divide and conquer, really, to take them over. And ISIS is basically to pave the way to get there. And the whole pretense of the U.S. fighting ISIS and, you know, apparently they've been fighting them now, bombing them now for how many months, maybe a year, and they've only grown stronger. In fact, the result of the U.S. bombardment against ISIS has been a boost in recruitment, because a lot of people were, open to the idea that ISIS is a conspiracy that was created by the West. And now that the West is supposedly fighting ISIS, it might push the, you know, very naive youths into believing, ISIS is the heroic power that is fighting the infidel West, etc., etc. So basically, in fighting ISIS, they've given ISIS the legitimacy that it needed to gain recruits.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not so naive for people living in Iraq. They went through the hell of U.S. occupation, mothers and fathers killed, cities burned down. And so the only thing they're going to hate more than the Islamic State is the Americans, because it's the Americans who invaded in 2003, burned Fallujah and dropped all those bombs, occupied the country, raped, murdered, and tortured people. And so they're automatically going to be on whatever side is fighting the Americans. But when you look at the actual targets of the American bombings, it seems to be oil refineries and grain silos and things from the Syrian state. And if you look at the West's ownership class in Israel, they've acted as Al-Qaeda's air force, bombing Syria six different times, attacking Hezbollah, killing the anti-ISIS commander, and yet no attacks on Israel by the Islamic State.
Not at all. And even though they're right on Syrian Israel front in the Golan Heights, Jabhat al-Nusra actually is getting aid from Israel on the Golan Heights border, medical aid and guns, and they've been pictured talking to each other. And these pictures were posted online. The pictures were taken by a Syrian living in the occupied Golan Heights, which is occupied by Israel. And as a result of releasing these pictures, he was actually put into Israeli prison. So the fact that Israel has been colluding with Al-Qaeda is an open secret, because it's only a secret as a result of being ignored by the media. So it's difficult, though, because in spite of all the evidence that's mounting, in spite of the fact that we've been vindicated and we've been talking about this for such a long time, we still haven't really been able to crack the nut, basically, of how to bring this to a mass audience. People seem to have a goldfish memory because they're not actually paying attention. They don't remember that only 3 years ago, the U.S. government was supporting the very people that they are attacking now. Very few people realize this. So how is it that we're going to affect change? That is the real question I'm struggling with right now.
I guess, you know, I personally have hope in this DIA report. It's just a matter of getting the information out, because this is written confirmation from 2012 stating that the West actively participated in creating the Islamic State. Not that it is the West, but that they fostered it, that they wanted this to happen, that it was a predictable outcome of, you know, flooding the area with guns and money, and that they supported these terrorist organizations against the Assad government. They call it a regime. And so you can't get any more clear than that. But I think a lot of people are just going to believe what they want to believe based on their political ideology, not based on reality or facts, sadly.
Yeah, well, you know, most, I won't say most, but a lot of people on the street, they just wouldn't trust their government, unfortunately, and just go along with what they say. They want to be the good guys, so they don't really want to believe what's clearly right in front of them. And unfortunately, they're just simply not exposed to enough information because, of course, the media is controlled by corporations and the government. It's completely controlled. And they go with whatever the government tells them to say.
Well, we saw that clearly in the build-up to war with Iraq. Every single mass media outlet lied about everything, including a post-war lie saying that the weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist were moved to Syria. And that came from Judith Miller, a little queen neocon herself, and the same woman who was thrown in jail for 85 days for leaking information on Valerie Plame and ruining the, you know, the CIA's ability to track nuclear weapons proliferation. And she ended up getting out of jail and getting a job with Fox News. You get rewarded when you lie, and you, like Robert Ford, you get fired when you tell the truth.
Well, you know, actually, Robert Ford was fired before he told the truth. I believe he began to sing like a bird only after he was fired. And he may have been fired because Egypt didn't accept him as an ambassador, because the Egyptian people began to protest the idea of him coming to Egypt after reading the report by the website Global Research that exposed him as a death squad civil war harbinger. The Egyptian people basically said, no, you're not going to bring the man that brings civil wars wherever he goes to Egypt, especially now, because this was just around the time that Morsi was put in jail. The Muslim Brotherhood President Morsi was put in jail by Sisi. And there was a lot of conflict happening in the street. And, you know, Egypt avoided the civil war, you know, since not accepting Robert Ford. So perhaps Robert Ford became a liability. I'm not sure about the politics that's happening behind the scenes, but here from the outside perspective, he lost his job right after he was refused the position as ambassador to Egypt. And then only in a few months, he became more and more vocal. He opened up a Twitter account, which he blocked me, by the way. on that Twitter account.
Congratulations.
Yes, I can add it to my list. So, maybe he's disgruntled. Maybe he wants to still be somehow relevant. But it's useful to us anyway, because now at least he's telling some kind of truth.
Well, that's good, and thanks for correcting me. Although there are plenty of examples of once somebody starts telling the truth, they get canned.
And there definitely is, but I guess he's a terrible person, so I doubt that he would spontaneously decide to tell the truth. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Talking about bringing civil war wherever you go, another character like that would be John McCain.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, they send in their dog whenever they plan to create a civil war somewhere, and that dog is John McCain. So, you know, someone maybe more high up level would be Bernard Henry Levy. He's another,
messenger of death
figure. Yes, the messenger of death.
One of the four horses of Revelations.
Precisely. You see him and you can just see the skiff outline just surrounding him. So he was, of course, Bernard Henry Levy, on the Turkish-Syrian border in 2011. He went to Libya, and he also went to Ukraine. So, but I feel rather proud that he wasn't capable of entering Syria proper. He was only able to, cowardly stay on the Turkish border, peering at Syria from afar. So I still have hope that we have the strength as a people to kick this menace away.
I saw Assad recently met with the Armenians, talking about the Turkish genocide of Armenians, and they are standing with the Syrian people in this time of crisis. It's really, it's painted also in the press as religious sectarian violence, but the reality is it's religious fanatics versus the secular, all the secular groups. I guess non-religious too, and so orientalized in the press. But really, nobody wants to live under Al Qaeda. I mean, nobody. None. It's the people are standing with. Not. It's not that they're pro-Assad. Some of them are pro-Assad, but they're more or less anti-ISIS. They're more or less pro-Syrian. They want to live, and they want to live freely, and that's not going to happen under an Islamic state.
Well, the idea of a sectarian civil war in the Middle East was something that the media was promoting a long time ago. If you recall, during the beginning of the Iraq War, all that you heard in the media was civil war, civil war.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have today for the free version. You can get the full podcast, 48 minutes with Mimi Alahim. We're also going to get more into the DIA and why that document was leaked. Why did they allow that anyway if it was so condemning? I'll be answering that as well. We do have a button now for the members. All you have to do is click the button at the top or on the bottom if you're using a phone. It's a gold sticker looking thing that says VIP on it. $5 a month or $50 a year, and you get all the podcasts for download, and you get all the full versions of every podcast and everything else. You will also be the first ones to see Empire Unmasked, aka War by Deception 2. You do not want to miss that one. Appreciate your support. Please go read the DIA documents if you haven't already. All you have to do is Google DIA ISIS and you can find it. Next on the show is going to be Brad Hoff, who wrote a report on the Levana board about the DIA, and we will be speaking with him on Wednesday, followed by my brother, who found the lost colony.